wildfires in southern Europe, dwindling river levels in Germany, parched earth across the Balkans. Drought is no longer a problem affecting just a few regions. Almost all of Europe is impacted. LensEU, zooming in on what drives Europe's community. I'm your host, Lilith Gröhl, an international reporter at Correctiv and part of Correctiv Europe. Together with local and freelance journalists from throughout Europe, we investigate issues that cross national borders and affect us all. Our latest data analysis shows for the first time just how widespread drought has been across Europe in recent years. The result? Over the past few years, two-thirds of all regions have been particularly affected by droughts. In other words, there was at least one year in which it was significantly too dry for 183 days or more. But what does this actually mean for our everyday lives, for water supplies, for the economy? Is Europe prepared for this development? We spoke with experts and journalists in various countries across Europe about exactly that. That's what this episode is about. This May was one of the hottest on record in Europe. Almost the entire continent sweltered. In the German town of Jülich, residents were urged to conserve water. In Scotland, fires raged through forest, and in France, the first heat-related deaths were recorded. While this may sound surprising at first, Europe is warming faster than any other continent. Factors contributing to this include its proximity to the rapidly warming Arctic, its large land masses, less frequent snow and ice, and increasingly dry earth. In our day-to-day lives, we notice it most when temperatures get extremely high. The sweating starts before you even move. Concentrating for 8 hours at work, impossible. And the moment you step outside, you are hit by a waft of heavy, warm air. But the heat is not only affecting us. It is also transforming nature and the economy. One of the clearest signs of this is the rising incidence of drought. Drought occurs when there is a very little rainfall over a prolonged period, which causes soil to dry out, so much so that plants cannot get enough moisture or that river waters begin to dwindle. But the consequences of a lack of water do not end at fields and forests. Harvests can be stunted, which can lead to higher food prices. Forests become stressed and more vulnerable to wildfires and parasites. At the same time, key aspects of our everyday life are affected. Drinking water supplies, inland shipping, industry, and the energy supply when river shrinks. In a nutshell, drought is much more significant than just a few weeks without rain or an especially hot summer. It has become part of Europe's new climate reality, with consequences for the environment, the economy, and ultimately society as a whole. At Correctiv Europe, we wanted to know how severely has Europe actually been affected by drought in recent years. More precise, where did drought occur between 2012 and 2026, and to what extent? To answer that question, we analyzed data from Copernicus. That is the European Commission's Earth Observation Program. This data provides insight into local drought conditions across the European Economic Area and other countries including the United Kingdom, North Macedonia, Albania, and Serbia. Bear with me for a moment now as we get slightly technical. The experts at Copernicus assess drought conditions every 10 days with a spatial resolution of around 5 square kilometers. So, on a fairly small scale. The assessments are based on factors including rainfall, soil moisture, and vegetation development. These measurements are used to determine what is known as drought status. It shows how severe the dryness actually is in a particular location. This is the data we worked with. And after speaking with experts from Spain, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, and several other European countries, we analyzed and divided it into two categories, moderate drought and acute drought. Moderate drought means significantly less rainfall than usual, and lower levels of water in the soil. This initially constitutes a warning. But the effects can already be visible, for example, when earth dries out and cracks begin to appear, especially in regions with sandy soil. Drought is deemed acute when there are also visible signs of vegetation suffering, when plants can no longer grow properly. At that point, the warning becomes an alarm. This allowed us, for the first time, to draw a fairly detailed picture of how drought has developed across large parts of Europe between 2012 and 2026. A link to our interactive atlas and our article can be found in the show notes. One thing was immediately evident. In many countries, the overall situation has diminished significantly. Albania, Serbia, and Poland in particular are increasingly facing moderate drought warnings. Other countries like Spain have been dealing with severe dryness for much longer. Almost all the countries we examined have experienced periods of acute drought in recent years. Especially southern and eastern Europe stand out when it comes to acute drought. And despite its more central location on the continent, Germany has not been spared either. Germany ranks 16th out of 35 countries in Europe, which may not sound so dramatic at first, but we should not be hasty in drawing conclusions from this, as experts in Germany are also observing a clear trend. It is not only the spring months that are getting drier. Many areas are experiencing less and less snow and rainfall in the winter months too. And that is a problem. Under normal conditions, water reserves are replenished during winter in soil, rivers, and groundwater. But if there is no rain, the year already starts with a deficit. If this is then followed by hot and dry months, the situation can deteriorate rapidly. Our analysis show severe drought no longer only affects individual regions, but rather the entire continent, and it is occurring more frequently. To understand why that is and what it means for Europe in real terms, we spoke with a scientist from Spain.
I'm Jaume Freire, a research scientist at the Institute for Economic Analysis of the Spanish National Research Council and an affiliated professor at the Barcelona School of Economics.
We ask what it is we tend to overlook when it comes to drought.
There has always been drought, but climate change is increasing its frequency and intensity, like for other natural hazards. And in particular, some regions have already been suffering from chronic water stress for a very long time, like the Mediterranean region. The key point is that it's not just about the rainfall. The temperature increase from global warming increases evapotranspiration. So more water is lost from soils and plants. And that increases the amount of water you need. For example, to grow the same crops you were growing before, or to generate electricity from hydropower, for cooling power plants from a socioeconomic perspective, or to maintain biological processes from an ecological perspective. And heat waves we're experiencing, which are more frequent, intense, and longer, have exactly the same effect. And we are seeing that we're experiencing more, in particularly in Europe, in the last decade. And this is also an important source of losing water. On the other hand, if we look at rainfall patterns, rain is becoming less frequent, but at the same time, heavier. We see this especially in the Mediterranean area, with dry periods followed by very strong rainfall and floods. These are driven by how warm the sea gets by the end of the summer. So I think the reason this gets overlooked is that rainfall is the intuitive part. We all can understand that it's not raining enough. While the role of temperature, the fact that a warmer atmosphere is basically thirstier and pulls more water out of crops, soils and reservoirs, is much less visible.
The expert explains that drought is increasingly becoming a constant problem, especially in Mediterranean regions. Like many others, Ferreira points to climate change as the driving force, triggering increasingly frequent and intense heat waves. He states additionally that in parallel, a second extreme phenomenon is becoming more relevant. Long periods of drought are increasingly followed by intense rainfall and flooding. Although this may seem contradictory, lots of rain does not automatically mean that enough water remains in the system. Heavy rainfall within a short period is often very difficult for the earth to absorb. Instead of slowly soaking into the ground and being stored there, the water tends to run off across the surface. Yet it is precisely this storage that would be crucial, acting as a buffer in dry periods and reducing the impact of future droughts. During our investigation, we also spoke with a farmer in the northern German state of Schleswig-Holstein. He operates a family-owned farming business there together with his parents. In 2018, drought hit their region harder than usual, pushing the farm to its limits. What followed, they had to slaughter animals earlier than planned. They did not have enough feed, and that milk yields decreased significantly. But they were not the only ones affected. The experts we spoke to reported crop failures and economic losses in several European countries. But behind these figures is something bigger than just economic problems and rising food prices. Every poor harvest also has a real impact on people, families, livelihoods. What damage can drought actually cause? The expert emphasizes water management plays a major role in dealing with periods of drought. But different sectors of the economy as well as the needs of society place very different demands on water resources. The European Union addresses this in a common legal framework that requires member states to protect and use water resources sustainably. In addition, it supports countries and regions through funding programs and cross-border cooperations in order to effectively tackle challenges such as flooding, drought, and water scarcity. Therefore, member states in the European Union have to develop their own water management plans. According to Ferreira, it is not that straightforward in practice. As water becomes scarce, conflicts arise between very differing interests. Water is required for agriculture, industry, and the public water supply, often simultaneously, but not always at the same extent. And that is precisely why drought affects different sectors of the economy in different ways. The challenge is to distribute the limited water resources in a way that accounts for as many needs as possible. The expert gives the following example. If the agriculture sector produces significantly less because of water shortage, businesses further down the supply chain are also impacted. Hence, from an economic perspective, sweeping restrictions on water use in agriculture are not always the most sensible solution. Instead, it is important to consider the impact such measures may have on the entire value chain. The European Commission has calculated the damage caused by extreme events such as drought. In 2025, extreme weather events, including droughts, heat waves, and floods, cost at least 43 billion euros in damage across Europe. It is difficult to determine exactly how much of this was caused by drought alone, as several extreme events often occur simultaneously. Experts warn that the cumulative cost of such weather events could explode to around 126 billion euros, triple the amount by 2029 if nothing changes. So, how does the current situation look across Europe? The first half of the year has been unusually hot in many places, prompting us to ask the simple question, was it also exceptionally dry? To find out, we took another look at the Copernicus data, examining whether the first month of this year were hotter than the same period in each of the previous 12 years. The result is clear. Spring 2026 was exceptionally dry in many regions. Compared with previous years, Germany experienced 6 times as many days when drought was severe enough to affect plant growth. This could have consequences not only for our landscapes, but also for agriculture production. In the German news, Jülich and the measurements taken there have dominated in recent weeks. But alongside Jülich, several other regions stand out, in particular in Mühlendorf am Inn, Stendal, and Dessau-Roßlau. The first month of the year saw as many drought alert days recorded as never before since the beginning of the observation period. A similar picture emerges for drought warnings, with many regions also seeing record levels. This demonstrates that the dryness this year is not so much a local phenomenon as it is a widespread problem affecting large parts of Germany and remarkable early in the year. This trend is not unique to Germany, though. As mentioned earlier, this spring has been unusually hot for most of Europe. We spoke with colleagues in Austria and Poland who have been investigating the issue of drought for quite some time. The colleague in Austria has been researching on drought and the effect of it on groundwater.
My name is Maximilian Herzl. I am a data journalist in Austria. I work at Wiener Zeitung, the Viennese newspaper. And last month, I already did research about drought in Austria. I worked with the data from Geosphere Austria. That's the local meteorological service. For that, I looked through the data of the drought in the surface of Austria itself. And what I found out, what I researched, was that in May 2026, the drought in Austria was as dry, like as big as never before. Especially in the southern parts of Austria, they have like extremely drought. But the most surprising part about my research was that the water that goes into the groundwater level is really, it's empty as never before. Like the groundwater storage in Austria is already at its limit. It's like really empty. The Ministry of Agriculture, which is also the Ministry of Environmental Protection, does gather this data and divide it in 5 categories. And right now in Austria, we don't have any water storage that's very high. Most of them is low. And normally the groundwater storage in Austria is developed when in winter and in spring, the snow in the Alps, the glaciers are melting, and that water is going through all the soil until it's stored in the very base of the soil itself. I talked with the scientists from Geosphere Austria, and they said it has to rain at least 2 weeks nonstop until this water can really reach the groundwater level.
Maximilian Hatzel has been looking at a possible consequence of drought in his latest research, the impact on groundwater. He reports that groundwater reservoirs in Austria are currently only lightly filled, or in some cases, not filled at all. Hatze spoke to experts that expect that agricultural yields will also be significantly affected as a result. They also say that even 2 weeks of continuous rainfall would not necessarily be enough to noticeably improve the situation. According to those experts' assessments, the situation is expected to worsen in the coming years. In Austria, demand of drinking water could rise by around 15%. While industry may in future require up to twice as much processed water as it does today. Hatze says that political responses in Austria are not sufficient. Our colleague in Poland has been working on drought and water management for several years now.
I'm Wojciech Kość, a climate and environment reporter with OKO.press in Poland, and I'm recording this on a rainy Thursday afternoon in Warsaw. This rain will bring some relief after weeks with almost no rainfall across Poland, but it will not on its own solve the problem. We have been reporting for years that drought in Poland is no longer just a short-lived summer emergency. It has become a long-term climate and water management crisis. And 2026 has been very much a case in point so far. Winter did bring some snow, but nowhere near enough to rebuild water level across the country. January precipitation was below half of the long-term norm. February was no better. And then came March. It was actually the third driest March in Poland's measurement history, with only 10.8 millimeters of rainfall, around 30% of the long-term norm. April and May did not bring any improvement. By late May, Warsaw had recorded only 25.5 millimeters of rain, or less than half of the 1991-2020 norm, which is the reference period used by climate scientists. High forest fire danger covered most of Poland. All this is happening in a country which has warmed by over 2 degrees Celsius since the pre-industrial period, boosting evaporation and worsening the so-called climatic water balance. So today's rain is welcome, but after months of deficit, it is really temporary relief, not recovery. Because drought is not only about whether rain falls, because it does, it is also about whether the landscape can hold on to that water. Spring also brought episodes of heavy rain, but those downpours often did not hydrate the environment properly. They fell on dry soil, and that made it more likely that water would simply run off instead of soaking in. It is also why drought and flooding are not opposites. They can be symptoms of the same broken water cycle: long dry spells, intense rain, and rapid runoff that causes floods. Drought means low rivers, stressed crops, forest fires, pressure on wildlife, and concerns about water supplies, which are not uncommon in Poland anymore.
The colleague from Poland reports on a drought that has been affecting the country for more than a decade. He states, "Although public concern is growing and the media repeatedly draw attention to the problem, appropriate political measures have so far largely failed to materialize." The Spanish scientist Ferreira places this development in a broader European context.
Society needs to understand better the role water plays in our socioeconomic and ecological systems, and how climate change is going to change that. And in particular, policymakers have to improve the way they manage a scarce resource that is becoming and will keep becoming scarcer in the future. And this basically has to come from informed science-based assessments. Developing more infrastructure can be necessary in some contexts, but it's not the only response, in particular in developed countries, where the level of hydraulic infrastructure is usually already high enough. And something to take into account is that infrastructures always generate additional environmental problems, which in turn create long-term economic, welfare and health issues. So a good planning combines supply side with demand side measures within social and environmental limits. One effective low-cost policy from the demand side is environmental taxation or water pricing. Right now, prices don't correctly reflect the marginal value of water. So progressive prices and taxes can encourage a more rational use of the resource, especially in periods of scarcity. At the same time, since water is a basic necessity, governments should guarantee a minimum supply for everyone. So, giving particular weight to demand-side approaches is essential, without losing sight of what climate studies project for future water availability. Another important aspect is coordination between regions. This is also key, especially for transboundary basins or large infrastructures. So in the short term, better pricing and demand management, and in the long term, planning infrastructure and creating adequate management plans.
To sum things up, the overall picture is fairly clear. Many experts expect the climate crisis in Europe to continue worsening. The latest Copernicus climate report points in the same direction. Heat waves are becoming more frequent and more extreme. Droughts are becoming more prevalent, especially in southern Europe, while glaciers across the continent continue to melt. And the consequences no longer affect only the environment. The agriculture sector is also increasingly coming under pressure. As water becomes more scarcer and extreme weather more common, an important question arises. How secure will our food supply be in future? A lack of knowledge is not the problem. The necessary measures are already known, both for mitigating the effects of climate change, and this includes designing cities and infrastructure so they can better cope with extreme weather. Removing silt surface is also important. allowing rainwater to soak back into the ground rather than flowing directly into the drainage system. At the same time, landscapes must be managed in ways that allow them to retain and store water for longer. These adaptations are especially important in agriculture. Systems like agroforestry can help buffer the effect of changing conditions. If you would like to explore the topic in more detail, we have analyzed the most important measures and their effectiveness in our accompanying article. The link can be found in the show notes. Although the need for action is now widely recognized in politics as well, the real challenge seems to lie in implementation. One example is the European Union's Green Deal. When it was introduced in 2019, it was seen as a roadmap towards a more climate-friendly Europe. Agriculture, industry, and transport were expected to become more sustainable, while emissions would be significantly reduced. But many of its proposals were later relaxed, postponed, or blocked altogether. Following the farmers' protests in 2024 at the latest, the debate had shifted. Instead of focusing on how to implement climate-related measures, attentions increasingly turned towards relaxing existing rules. In parallel, political oppositions grew from right-wing voices rejecting stricter climate policies. As a result, many experts now see a widening gap between what scientists see as necessary and what policymakers are actually doing. Ultimately, the consequences of this disparity will be borne first by nature and eventually by all of us. Lens EU, zooming in on what drives Europe's community, is a cooperation between media houses and institutions across Europe. The joint project is co-funded by the European Union. However, the views and opinions expressed are those of the authors only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union or the European Commission.